Welcome to the Financial Power Hour with the financial prosperity coach, Christopher Music, who has been a featured guest on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox affiliates, sharing his 20-plus years of experience in financial principles and how to apply them to your life and business. And now, your host, Christopher Music.
Welcome to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. I'm your host, Christopher Music, the creator of Econologics, Results-Based Financial Planning, and the Private Practice Millionaire. You can find me at www.pchristophermusic.com. Now, you know, I put this show together to change the lives of business owners and professionals who are in their own private practice. Now, the way I see it, you all work way too hard not to have the financial independence, or what I call financial power. Through this show, I will bring you priceless content and expert interviews that will empower you and educate you on the successful actions you need to take to achieve your business goals and reach your financial destiny. My special guest today is entrepreneur coach Vic Tibnis, and I'll be talking with him about his coaching expertise in helping entrepreneurs follow their dream, build a viable business, and achieve greatness. We'll be talking about the challenges and obstacles entrepreneurs face and how to overcome them along the journey of business ownership. But before we hear from Vic, I want to share with you a little bit about my story. I've been a serial entrepreneur probably since I was 8 years old. It's very interesting. When I was 8 years old, my family would go to a campground for 2 weeks vacation every year in Central Ohio. During the wintertime, I figured out that I could make some things that people would find, well, important when they're out camping, such as candles. So I would go around, I would collect all these beer cans, take the tops off, put in some wax and a little bit of citronella and a wick, and we'd make candles. And I would have a whole bunch of them collected up over the wintertime. My sister and I were always into crafts, too, so my mom had the great idea of getting us with this little loom, and we would make these little pot holders, and we would make, dozens of them. Well, it was very interesting. We would go out to this campground called Mohican Campground in Loudonville, Ohio, every July or August for 2 weeks, and that was our family vacation. And the first 2 days, we would walk around to all the different campsites, and we would sell out of all these candles and these pot holders, just immediately. And it was amazing to me because I learned a very valuable lesson. I learned that if I would do that, I had more candy money than any other kid at the campground did, and I was the most popular kid there. And from that point on, I spent my whole life being an entrepreneur at different levels. I washed and waxed cars. I had a mobile disc jockey company throughout my entire high school, later high school, and college and graduate school careers. Got out of school, started my own financial planning company, and sold that for twice the average market value back in 2002, moved to Florida, became a business coach myself, and then, of course, I'm doing financial planning again, working with small business owners and professionals. And the one thing I learned about being an entrepreneur is the freedom that one can get from it. But I also learned that if you don't really get specialized knowledge and great mentors or great people who really understand being an entrepreneur, the challenges, and how to help you clarify and achieve your goals, then you're going to learn the most expensive way possible, which, of course, is the school of hard knocks. Now, I have certainly been a graduate of that school as well, because one of the main problems I had with getting a master's degree in business administration, which, of course, all I learned was how to be a yes person for a publicly traded company. I did not learn anything about entrepreneurship in school. I got out on my own, and I learned by learning what worked and getting, my nose rubbed into things that didn't work. So I know how important it is to get connected to systems that work, to people who have already walked the path before you and can give you some intelligent guidance on what to do, what not to do. And if you have that, then you have value in your life that is really incredible and so very important. We become entrepreneurs because we want the economic rewards of doing it. We want the satisfaction of achievement. We want to make our own way and the pride that's involved in that. And of course, the world's not set up to make that an easy task. So in this show today, we have a person who has really created his own way, a person who I've followed on social media for the last couple of years, who I have found has really figured out a lot of things and has been intelligent in his approach to running a business. So we're going to take a quick break. Up next, we'll be talking with my very special guest, entrepreneur coach Vic Tipness, and he'll be giving you his insight and experience on overcoming the challenges of business ownership and how to achieve your goals. Plus, at the end, we're going to talk about taking action. You will not want to miss it. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Christopher Music, host of the Financial Power Hour and creator of the Private Practice Millionaire. I'm a veteran financial expert, best-selling author, and the founder of the subject of Econologics, which is a results-based financial planning system. After almost 20 years as a practicing financial advisor, I discovered that the missing ingredient in the prosperity of any household is the education and implementation of universally workable strategies. There are correct, time-tested laws that have always worked, and I want to share them with you. In 2013, I penned a chapter in the best-selling book, More Better, The World's Leading Experts Reveal How to Get More Out of Business and Life with Better Results. This chapter, called The 10 Maxims of the Private Practice Millionaire, is a summary of the most important actions to take to ensure success in private practice. Download the book free at www.pchristophermusic.com. That's www.pchristophermusic.com.
Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Christopher Music, and you're listening to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. Now, before the break, I shared with you my entrepreneurial story and how I struggled and been doing this, you know, this self-employed thing for 25 years. And now I'm going to introduce my guest, Vic Tipness. Vic was born in London, England, and immigrated to Florida as a young boy with his family. He claims he always knew that he wanted to be an entrepreneur from a very young age. As a young entrepreneur, he struggled through various businesses but didn't really reach his full potential in his own mind. It wasn't until he was 35 years old that he realized he needed to truly invest in himself, so he took massive action and became obsessed with bettering himself. Then in 2015, after he turned just 39, he became a man on a mission. He started Blackstone Medical Services in 2012 from a 400-square-foot office with no revenue, one employee, and a loan from an investor. But he knew that all the hard work and sacrifice would pay off one day. Today, he has over 30 employees and a multi-million-dollar company. He has grown nationally, doing business in over 38 states. In addition, he coaches entrepreneurs through social media channels to help them achieve their business goals and financial independence. Welcome, Vic Tipness.
Thanks, Christopher. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, man. So, you know, of course, over the last year or so, I've been following you on my social media. Yeah. And so let's just start out by having you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what is it about entrepreneurship that makes you so passionate?
You know, I think for me, you actually said, and I really enjoyed listening to your story because I duplicate a lot of that in terms of freedom. You know, one of the main reasons a few of the reasons I want to become an entrepreneur. One is because I felt that if I started a company that could help as many people as I possibly could, I felt that that was one of my major purposes in life. So I needed to find a company or a product or service that was going to allow me to do that. Mm-hmm. Right. Blackstone allows me to do that. Because we're able to test patients for obstructive sleep apnea. And for you guys that don't know what obstructive sleep apnea is, it's a breathing disorder where you don't breathe at night for 10 seconds or more. So our product and service allows a patient to be able to get tested in their home instead of having to go to the hospital. Better access, better quality, better cost. So all over, it's a better solution to the problem. In terms of instinctively for me, one of the biggest drivers that I've had since I've been a little kid, like, you know, you were selling these things and you were generating money and you were like, okay, this was, it allowed a certain level of freedom. And for me, that is just huge. You know, mm-hmm. to me, it doesn't really matter. I don't really do it for the money. I just want to be able to do what I want, when I want, where I want, how I want, with whom I want, however I want, you know, and that's just what I want to do. So whether I was making, selling tacos or cutting grass or whatever it may be, to me, you know, that's freedom. You know, I can do what I want to do. And I'm a really bad employee. You know, I'm a really, really bad employee. So knowing that I'm unemployable and knowing that, you know, I kind of want to do my own thing, entrepreneurialism was just the way for me to go.
Yeah, and all of you listening today who, and you know who you are, you know, the ones who can't be employed by anyone. I was a terrible employee, of course. And so listen up, because this is, you know, there is a path for you, those of you who know that you can't work for anybody else. So that leads us to our next question, Vic, about entrepreneurship. And, you know, is that something for everyone? What do you think about that?
I don't think it's for everyone. I think there's a lot of people out there that put out a lot of data about, oh, everyone can do it. Everyone can start their business. And I actually don't believe in that. I think you have to have the right DNA for it. You have to be able to stomach the fact that you're going to go through a lot of struggle. There may be times that you can't pay yourself. And there are times that I'll have discussions with other people that are in the workaday world, and they're working and they're kind of like, you know, I want to make the jump. And I'll ask them, I say, well, look, let me ask you a question. Are you going to be okay with possibly not getting a paycheck every week? You know, are you going to be okay with that? Well, what do you mean? You mean I'm not going to get paid? No, dude, you may not get paid. You know, and if you're not okay with that, then you're going to have a really hard time. And I tell people, I say, hey, look, you know, you need to be able to set a certain amount of money aside. And, you know, when I started Blackstone, I didn't have a lot of money. I wasn't financially independent. I had about 6 months worth of money that was going to provide for me and my family at that time. So the turkey ticker was on. Mm-hmm. You know, I had 6 months. I had to go raise money and do all these things, but I had to be okay with that. I couldn't necessarily bitch and complain and say, oh my God, what am I going to do? And the sky's falling. I had to be okay with it. And I think that if you're not okay with it as an entrepreneur, you're just going to find yourself struggling a lot. And I think that's why it's not for everyone. I think you have to have the stomach for it.
Well, I can totally understand. I sit here just chuckling because when I got started in my business, I lived on credit cards, man. I mean, I didn't have a paycheck for a couple of years and a real one, you know. Yeah. And you know, I would walk around, look at people, look at me like, are you crazy? What? I'm like, doesn't everybody do this? And they're like, no.
Right, exactly. You know, I saw an interview one time when I was younger with Oprah Winfrey and Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And she asked him during the interview, she says, you know, you seem a little bit nervous in this interview. And he says, you know, actually I am. And she was just astounded by his answer. And she says, well, hold on, you perform in front of hundreds of stadiums full of people, hundreds of thousands of people, and everyone is watching you. Yet I'm just one person sitting here in an interview with you. Mm-hmm. And he said to her, he said, look, you know, for me, I could go on a stage with 100,000 people with my pillow and a blanket and go to sleep on the stage. That's just how comfortable I am on the stage. And so that's just who he is. His DNA, his beingness is that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, could I do that? Probably not, unless I really change my mind about it. But, you know, that also duplicates into entrepreneurialism. You got to be okay with it. I am actually more comfortable with not knowing where my paycheck comes from, instead of working for a company not knowing I may get fired tomorrow mm-hmm. because the boss's daughter's new husband needs a job or needs my job. So it's a different viewpoint in terms of that.
Okay, so looking at the entrepreneur DNA or that character, what else would you look for in a person deciding whether or not they want to be an entrepreneur?
Their risk tolerance.
Okay.
you know, their risk tolerance. And then, you know, the other thing I look for, too, that I actually see as one of a barrier that a lot of entrepreneurs have is they wait for perfection to get started. And that's just such a mistake to do. You know, yes, you have to have a good product and a service, absolutely. But sometimes people wait years and years and years and years because they think it's just not perfect. And unfortunately, not everything's going to be perfect. And I think once you get it to a point where it's a workable, viable solution, you got to move forward. I mean, when I started Blackstone, my product wasn't perfect. We're still, mm-hmm. you know, updating it and adding value to it. You know, I make the analogy of the iPhone. You know, right now the iPhone 7 comes out, great phone. I wouldn't use the first iPhone if you paid me.
Mm-hmm.
But when that first came out, that was the best product they could offer then at that point. So that just goes to show that they didn't say, hey, we're going to wait till the 7 comes out, get it to the 7 level, and then release it. No, they said, hey, there's a product and service. Let's get the show on the road. And a lot of times I'll see entrepreneurs that just don't move. They just sit. And when you sit, you just die. You know, your idea dies on the vine. Yeah, how many times have we run into somebody, oh, I've got this great idea. How long do you have that idea? 15 years.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Dude, you... 15 years? Bro, come on.
Let's make a move, man.
Do something.
You know, and you bring up a very good point, you know, because I deal primarily with private practice professionals, those who have a professional service, namely in allied healthcare.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing to me that, you know, they'll deliver the services they were trained to do, but... sometimes forget about the fact that there's always that innovation and always that continual improvement of the product or service and expansion of those products and services that happen. Of course, that's a critical element. All right. Well, give me one more characteristic of whether a person should be an entrepreneur or not.
They've got to be seeking. They've got to be looking at solutions more than problems. You know, I do find that that's a very, very important characteristic, meaning that, you know, somebody's looking at a deal mm-hmm. and all they see are the problems with the deal and they don't see the solutions or the opportunities with it, you know, and they get sidetracked into just looking at the problems of it instead of looking at the opportunity. You know, and Blackstone is a perfect example. You know, I lost money for the first 3 years. I was losing $350,000 a year. $30,000 a month in cash, you know, mm-hmm. I could have focused on the problems. I could have focused on everything that was going wrong. But instead, I focused on the solutions because I knew and I saw that there was light at the end of the tunnel. And as an entrepreneur, that's going to happen to you,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if you constantly are looking to the problems instead of the solutions, you're going to wind up in trouble. You know, I could have closed the doors. I could have said, hey, this is just too much. Problems, problems, problems. But I shifted my viewpoint and said, well, I'm gonna focus on the solutions because I obviously felt that there was value there. I mean, obviously, you have to, as an entrepreneur, you got to believe in your product, right?
Sure.
But if you believe in your product and you're going to be hit, you're going to constantly get hit with problems, you're going to have to always be focused on solutions and constantly apply solutions to what's happening.
Yeah, y'all hear that? You know, the best entrepreneurs, the most successful business owners look at a problem and they focus on how to resolve that problem, ideally without creating another problem.
Right.
That would be exactly. That would be the ideal solution, right? Which doesn't always happen, as you well know. Okay, so let's talk about education here a little bit because entrepreneurs are like, well, you know, people when they start, I should get a business degree. I really want to, you know, learn about that. And so many graduates come out, they're not employed, they're not working in their field of study. What are your thoughts on college?
I think college for business is a scam to me. It is. There is no advantage to it. It's a racket, in my opinion, because, you know, I think college, I think is very overpriced, but the other thing is, I think if you're going to go into a specialty field, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to be an accountant, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be an attorney, you have to go through certain schooling to be able to get your license, right? Do I think it's right that a college institution is going to charge you money for the fact that you're trying to be an attorney, but you're being forced to take trigonometry and philosophy and astronomy? I think that's a racket. I don't think you should have to do that. But in terms of the business world, business school does not prepare you for real life business. It just doesn't. And if you look at a lot of the successful entrepreneurs, they're all either college dropouts or never went to college. You know, I'm a college dropout myself. I went to college for 6 months. I knew it wasn't going to help me. You know, what was going to help me was just to get started and starting and learn exactly what I needed to do and get the show on the road. Right. And obviously, yeah, you got to have some street smarts. You got to know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I said it's not for everyone. But does school prepare you for it? Absolutely not. Absolutely. And in my opinion, I think it's just a complete waste of money.
I had a longer learning curve than you did. I went 5 years. And I can tell you without question, it didn't help me. Because I got out of school, I had an MBA. So this is great. I have an MBA. And then I fell flat on my face, you know, trying to start a financial firm. And, you know, I had to learn on the go.
Yeah.
You know, just like everybody else does. And that leads me to a point, an observation that I've made in the world of YouTube and in, you know, on-demand learning.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that there isn't a tutorial for.
Nothing.
Nowadays, nothing.
Nothing.
That you can just Google something and video pops up and here's how to do this.
Right.
And I think we would find people would be more successful in business and in life just by being a quick study.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons, Christopher, I put out the content I do, because as I was moving along, you know, my parents died when I was younger and I found myself without any sort of mentorship. And I was always seeking for mentorship. I never found it. But, you know, right now in today's society, there's not a lot of people that are putting out entrepreneurial content for a individual that's out there somewhere in the country that wants to start a business but doesn't have a family member or a friend or a cousin or someone that they can go to, you know, to say, hey, I have this idea. What do you think? Sometimes a person can save a heartache of money and loss and all this other stuff by just getting the right data, because maybe their idea is bad. Maybe it is flawed. Maybe they should look at another idea. But when they don't have the data or the content to pull from, it's a problem for them. So that's why on social media, I put out a lot of content for free for other entrepreneurs to be able to look at, evaluate for themselves. I talk about the things I'm going through and I document instead of creating it. You know, I actually do document what's happening with me and what I did and how I was broke 2.5 years ago and I only had $78 in my name and how did I come out of that? Because I think that there's nuggets in that content that's going to help somebody else that they probably won't get in business school, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't learn it in business school. I had to learn it from you know, having someone tell me, here's how you do it, watch me do it. And I drilled it, you know, and it had to align with some natural law or some kind of a proven process, because yeah. I also wouldn't have got the results, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't. I mean, where do you go? I mean, you can't, you know, you're not going to watch the Kardashians and figure out how to start a business. You're just not. So where are you going to go?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, okay. So folks, you know, this whole entrepreneurship thing is such a very important subject. And we're going to take a quick break to handle the weather and traffic update. But up next, we're going to continue to talk with entrepreneur coach Vic Tipness. And we're going to ask him for tips on overcoming obstacles and challenges in business ownership. At the end, we're going to give you a quick action list of this show so we can really get to work to create immediate and impactful results in your life. You're not going to want to miss this. Stay tuned for weather and traffic up next. Hi, this is Christopher Music, host of the Financial Power Hour and creator of the Private Practice Millionaire. I'm a veteran financial expert and best-selling author, and I'm also the founder of the subject of Econologics, which is a results-based financial planning system. After almost 20 years as a practicing financial advisor, I discovered that the missing ingredient in the prosperity of any household is the education and implementation of universally workable strategies. There are correct, time-tested laws that have always worked, and I want to share them with you. In 2014, I penned a chapter in the best-selling book with Steve Forbes of Forbes magazine called Successonomics, Learn the Secrets of Success in the New Economy from Today's Leading Entrepreneurs and Professionals. My chapter summarized the process of how to define and locate your ideal financial advisor so you can achieve financial success. Download the book free at www.pchristophermusic.com. That's www.pchristophermusic.com.
This is the Financial Power Hour with Prosperity Coach Christopher Music. Make contact at 727-588-1540. And now, here's Christopher Music.
Okay, folks, we're back, and you're listening to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. I'm your host, Christopher Music, the creator of Results-Based Financial Planning and the Private Practice Millionaire. And we're talking with entrepreneur coach Vic Tipness on overcoming the challenges of business ownership and how to achieve your financial goals. Vic, thanks again for being here, man.
Thanks for having me, Christopher.
Yeah, and so the last segment we talked about, you know, the entrepreneurship DNA and how important it is to know whether, you know, you could survive that particular lifestyle or not. And so let's talk about some of the challenges. What do you think are the biggest barriers stopping people from starting their own business?
Fear. Well, it's just fear.
What's going to happen to me?
Well, it's fear. It's the fear of the unknown. I mean, like, we all have that fear to a degree. You know, some
sure.
people have a little less tolerance or more tolerance than others. But I think at the end of the day, it boils down to, you know, how are you? Do you have the ability to overcome your fear? You know, because mm-hmm. there are going to be a lot of unknowns, and you don't know what they are, obviously, that you're going to come across. And if you're not willing to confront those things and be able to say, okay, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, hammer through it and get through it, then you're going to have a problem. And that's usually the number one reason why a person doesn't quit their job and start their thing. It's fear.
Yeah. So give me an example of someone that you've coached or talked to that you know, what happened to them when they actually overcame that fear?
You know, as somebody that I knew, they sat on something for several years, and they had a very cushy income. Things were well, you know, they had a 401k and all this stuff, and they had a pretty good idea. And the person couldn't get over the fear of losing what they had for the potentiality of what they could have, right? And obviously, it could go to hell in a handbasket too, but that's a risk you take. You know, nothing worthwhile to me, nothing is worthwhile having without some sort of risk.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen. So they sat on it for a little while, longer than they should have. They finally took the plunge, and, you know, to their surprise, it was a great thing. And they carried on, their business did well, and they're doing great today. So, you know, that's a good success story. You know, that they took the plunge and decided to start their own thing. You know, but at the end of the day, the biggest thing that he then later on said he wished he would have done was start sooner, right? Then you get into the regret.
Well, that's the same thing in financial planning. You know, people feel when they finally realize how not difficult it is to do, they find, I should have done this earlier.
I should have done this 10 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's funny. So let's define entrepreneur. You know, in the break here, we're taking
sure.
a look at the my you know the app on the phone here with the dictionary. Here's the definition of entrepreneur: a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. So I run into the problem all the time where I work with a dentist or a veterinarian or a chiropractor, and they say, well, I'm a doctor. I'm not an entrepreneur. Oh, yes, you are. Once you go into that rather from being an associate to going into being a business owner, you're not an entrepreneur. That is a whole new world mm-hmm. of technology and knowledge and application. And you gave me your definition of entrepreneur. What's that?
My definition of an entrepreneur is making payroll on Friday when you have no money.
See, that's one who makes it go right no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and as entrepreneurs, we need to do this. There's actually a French derivation of this word, literally, one who undertakes some task. Isn't that interesting?
There you go.
So when we're talking about entrepreneurs here, we're talking about people who choose not to work for someone, but to work for themselves. That's really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. So in doing that in your life, what major challenges did you face? You already alluded to some of them, but what else have you faced or noticed in others that they faced in overcoming those challenges to be a successful person who is running that their own business and being successful at it?
In terms of the challenges that I faced?
Yeah.
I had just my own personal story. I had a lot. About 2.5 years ago, I was 4 days away from being bankrupt. My investor pulled out and I think at the time we had about 8 or 9 employees and we had payroll due that Friday and it was $20,000. And I think we had $2,500 in the bank account and we were losing $30,000 a month. And it was like, okay, you're 4 days away from closing. What do you want to do? And, I'll never forget it. And I think every entrepreneur, will come across this crossroads in their career where, you're going to have to decide if you're going to make it go right, you know,
yeah.
Come hell or high water. You're just going to have to decide. And I'll never forget. It was actually a very, very, very emotional time for me, but it was also a very impactful time for me in the sense that I decided that day. I'll never forget it. I was going to pick up my kids from school, 5:30 in the afternoon on a Tuesday. My kids were 10 and 9 and 11 at the time. And the two boys and 9 and 11-year-olds don't care about anything that's going on in your life. It doesn't matter. Oh, your world's falling apart. It's okay. Can we go get ice cream? I'm like, dude, yeah. Really? And I'll never forget it. I got a call from my business partner, and he says, hey, the investor's out. We're out of money. And by the way, I'm out too. That's like, great. When it rains, it pours.
Right.
And he says, well, it looks like it's going to close. And I decided at that moment in time, I said, no, hell no, we're not going to close. I'm going to make this go right. And I said, all right, fine. Let me buy your stock. I'll make it go right. And I just decided, you know, I could have went the other way. I could have. But I think that's what separates the good from the great, right? I could have went the other way. But I said, no, I'm going to make it go right. I got on the phone. I borrowed $10,000 from one guy, $15,000 from another guy, made payroll. I had to go raise $200,000 in the next 30 days. I was out of business and I was hustling to do it. And I had a business that was losing, you know, $30,000 a month. So that wasn't something very easy to go to. Hey, by the way, dude, I'm losing $30,000 a month, but can you give me 50?
That's a hard sale.
It was a hard sale. So, you know, I fortunately was able to make it go right, and I did it. And then we, you know, 4 to 5 months later, we were finally break even and we weren't bleeding money and we would lose money here and there. But it was a constant struggle. It was a constant struggle. And I constantly had to remind myself of why I wanted to be here, because I was in this position because I put myself in this position. And I had to just say, okay, I'm going to get out of it. So it was always solution driven. And it took 3 years. It was 3 years of life literally being day to day, week to week, not knowing what was going to happen. There were times where my vendors would stop picking up our supplies or dropping stuff off, and employees would leave because they thought the company was going to fold. And it was just a constant battle. But I think that's just what happened. You know, I recently read Elon Musk's book. Mm-hmm. And about his struggles going through SpaceX and PayPal and all this stuff. And, you know, he was 5 days away from Tesla being shut down, you know, and just it's just what you go through. So I think that, you know, for me, even looking at other entrepreneurs, I just have a higher sense of admiration and fondness for the fact that, wow, you actually went through some stuff versus, you know, your father gave it to you. Now you're just running his business. It's mm-hmm. To me, it's just, look, that's not the same thing. I'm sorry. It's just not. Go build it yourself. Go raise the money yourself. When you have no reputation, you have no name, you have no credit, go do it and then show me what you're made of. And that's just, to me, is I have a higher respect for those individuals than ones that were handed it to them, you know? But again, and it's not that that's a bad thing, but I think, you know, look, if my dad was a gazillionaire and he gave me a bunch of money to go around, fantastic, sign me up. But those weren't the cards I was dealt. So I think that, you know, for entrepreneurs that don't have that, you know, background and resources, they're going to have to get really used to knowing that, you know, the stuff's going to get tough. and you're going to have to decide what you want to do.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You mentioned a couple points there, and I want to kind of reiterate. You know, the first thing, when you reach those down points, you know, that where you're really close to the bottom there, you know, that's when you find your character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. It's not a trite thing to say. It's actually like, you know, am I really gonna make this go right or
right.
not? And when you succeed, in my experience, working with, you know, the hundreds or thousands of professionals I work with, when you do that, you have a new respect for your own ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people say, I guess I say an employee because I'm afraid of going out on my own, what they're saying is, I don't know about my ability. I don't, you know, without, you know, being too hard, it's like, I don't believe in myself enough to be able to go out there and face the potential bankruptcy or the problem. And if you have bankruptcy, so what? It's bankruptcy. It's not like you're dying.
Right.
It's, you know, just financial problem. It's a short term
exactly.
thing.
It
right?
is. It totally is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even that day, this is it. This was my bank balance. I took a screenshot of it. $78.80. I took a bank because I said, you know what? One day when I make it and I turn around, I'm going to look back and I'm going to frame this.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. It's that fear, the false evidence appearing real kind of thing. Right?
Yeah. And by the way,
yeah,
this was my available balance.
Available. Good.
Okay. I had checks outstanding.
Oh, we look back and laugh, right?
Yeah.
And so, and that's why I'm really heavy on getting entrepreneurs and business owners. Y'all listen up to this. The biggest investment you can make ever, and this is if I'm a financial advisor here, is your investment in yourself, your own ability, your own specialized knowledge, your application of that knowledge, and creating your own dream. That is so important. So, okay, we're going to take a quick break now. And up next, we're going to be wrapping up our interview with my very special rock star guest, Vic Tipness. And we're going to ask him how he mentors entrepreneurs and business owners. So stay tuned. Hi, this is Christopher Music, host of the Financial Power Hour and creator of the Private Practice Millionaire. I'm a veteran financial expert, best-selling author, and the founder of the subject of Econologics, which is a results-based financial planning system. After almost 20 years as a practicing financial advisor, I discovered that the missing ingredient in the prosperity of any household is the education and implementation of universally workable strategies. There are correct, time-tested laws that have always worked, and I want to share them with you. In 2013, I penned a chapter in the best-selling book, More Better, The World's Leading Experts Reveal How to Get More Out of Business and Life with Better Results. This chapter, called The 10 Maxims of the Private Practice Millionaire, is a summary of the most important actions to take to ensure success in private practice. Download the book free at www.pchristophermusic.com. That's www.pchristophermusic.com.
Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Christopher Music, the creator of the Private Practice Millionaire, and you're listening to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. Vic Tipness has been with us today, and I'd like to thank him for spending time sharing his knowledge and expertise in overcoming the challenges of business ownership and how to achieve your personal and financial goals. So before the break, we're talking about, you know, taking risk and all these things. And I want to talk about a minute about mindset. You know, there's what kind of mindset must that business owner have to really maintain the course during the difficult times?
I think you have to be very tenacious. I think you have to be very persistent. I think you're going to come across a lot of things in the physical universe that are going to tell you no. They're going to tell you, you know, that you can't do something, and that's just the way it's designed. You know, mm-hmm. you can't have this idea that everything's just going to always flow your way. There's going to be problems, and so I think if you try not to resist them, and you just try to go into it, okay, problems are going to come. When they come, I'll resolve them, and just have that kind of persistent, optimistic mindset that you're just going to handle whatever comes your way. You're going to be better off. You know, I think that's what has really helped me, because when I did come across major blows, I immediately went, okay, well, what's the solution here? How can I fix this? How can I make it work? And that's just who I am. And this building could be on fire, but I'll find the one thing that's not burning. Be like, oh, look, that's not burning. You know, that's just who I am to a default. So I think having that mindset is crucial. It's very, very crucial, I think, because otherwise you get sucked into the negativity. Mm-hmm. You know, you get toxic people that are around you, and they start kind of hammering you. And, you know, they get somebody saying, well, you should just get a job and just take the safe route, you know, all that crap. And it's a bad way to go. So you got to really, you know, think very positive. You can't let negative influences affect you, and you just have to keep moving forward.
You know, that reminds me, when I was getting started back in the early 90s in the financial planning, I had a partner who was mm-hmm. who was with me in the very beginning. And you know, when we got started, things got tough fast. And I stuck in there. I said, you know, this is what I'm doing. You know, it's funny. This is one thing I want to share with you real quick. I had this dean of students at the school I went to, and she says, well, you're going to have to learn how to work for somebody. And I said, no, I don't. I'm going to have my own financial planning firm. I already know what I'm going to do when I get out of here. And she looked at me in this incredulous point of view and said, well, what if you fail? And I honestly looked at her and said, I never thought of that.
That's true. That's the right mindset.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, it's the right mindset.
It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that's something, mm-hmm. because today he's working for somebody. And I have, you know, a couple of successful businesses and, you know, have a very different lifestyle.
Right.
So, that's very interesting that you bring that up, that tenaciousness, that persistence.
You have to, because you're going to come across it all the time.
Absolutely. So we promised our listeners that you would tell them some of the ways that you mentor entrepreneurs and business owners. So can you give us some highlights and some of your advice?
Sure. So, you know, the number one thing that I always say to people is what are you passionate about? What is it that you really love to do? Because mm-hmm. if you don't love to do it, you're just going to stop. You know, mm-hmm. you got to have a love. You got to have a passion for it. That speaks volumes in terms of, you know, putting yourself in a situation where, you know, when the times do get tough, you're like, hey, but I love doing what I'm doing. And it can't be about the money. Like, I think entrepreneurs make a very big mistake when they chase the money. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never chased the money. I've always chased value, you know, and I don't think that a lot of people look at it that way. Because if you chase the value and you build so much value, people will pay you whatever you want for it, right? Because you're staying focused on the value of your product, you know. And so for me, from day one, I wasn't really concerned. Okay, I couldn't pay myself much and this and that. I was like, okay, am I building value? At some point, the money's going to come. But if you chase the money first, you're doing it backwards, you know. And if you look at all the successful entrepreneurs, that's what they did. They built so much value in their product and their service that people were willing to pay whatever for it. And if you look at the iPhone in 2008, which is one of the worst recessions in the last 100 years, Apple sold, you know, their growth in iPhone sales was out of this world. Mm-hmm. And you think about that, but hold on. It was the worst recession. People are buying a $600 phone. Oh, no, it's $199 on a contract. No, dude, it's $600. You're going to pay $600 over 2 to 3 years. It's not $199, okay? Mm-hmm. It's $600. They didn't have a sale. It wasn't a recession sale, but they were just providing so much value that you were willing to do whatever you sell your kid for it. You know, you'd sell whatever for it because, like, I want this iPhone. And so I think entrepreneurs make a big mistake when they don't provide value and they're not constantly adding value to their product or service. I am constantly doing that in my company. Mm-hmm. How much more value can we give? I give value on social media and I give it for free. Value, 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 value. At some point, somebody's going to say, hey, I want to do this with you. There's going to be some sort of financial reward down the road just because that's just the way the world works. You're going to get something out of it at some point. Not that I'm doing it for that, but it's just the way it works. When you provide value, people will pay you money for it.
Absolutely.
Right? So that's one of the big things that I always talk about with entrepreneurs. Number two is, you know, what is an entrepreneur for you? How do you define it for you? Because even getting into starting your own business, I think it's really important that you define why you're becoming an entrepreneur. Hmm. What are your driving points? You know, and I don't think a lot of people think about it in those terms. They think, oh, I'm going to be an entrepreneur because I'm going to make a lot of money.
Right.
Okay. Well, maybe you could get a job and make $250,000 a year. Maybe you'll start a business and make $150,000. But there's going to be some significant trade-offs.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to decide if you're willing to offset those trade-offs. You know, you have to decide. And I think by defining what an entrepreneur is for you, it really helps, because when you go through those difficult times and you're questioning the decision you made, you can then refer back to that list and say, oh, you know what? This is why I wanted to be an entrepreneur, because I want to come and go as I please. I don't want to have a fixed schedule, or whatever it may be for you. You got to really figure out what that button is for you, because it's different for everyone.
Right.
Right. So that's one thing I always tell people is find out, define it, what it is for you. And then the third thing is, okay, so you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to start a business. What problem are you solving? Right. And to the degree that you solve a problem is to the degree that you'll be successful. So you've got to figure out what problem you're solving. And does your product or service really provide the solution to that problem? The bigger the problem, the bigger the profits, right? The mm-hmm. bigger the company,
mm-hmm.
right?
True.
It's just, you know, this year we're 95% up over last year. Why? It's not because I'm a great guy and I know how to dress. It's not because of that. It's because we're solving a major problem. We're solving a major problem in this country where patients don't have access to the proper testing and can't afford it. The access is difficult, the quality sucks, and the cost is high. So I'm providing a better solution to that problem, and that's increasing our growth in our company. So that's a good indication to anyone that's saying, hey, why am I not growing? Well, maybe you're not solving a big enough problem, or maybe your solution to the problem isn't that great as you thought it was.
Exactly.
So you got to kind of go back to the drawing board and say, okay, hold on, what is the issue with my product or service? Because it's obviously not solving a big enough problem, right? And I think that's a very important part of it, because that's going to determine a lot of your success.
Wow, I love it. So we got building value, following your love and your passion, defining your why as an entrepreneur, and being solution-oriented solving that problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Wonderful advice. So, Vic, how can people get a hold of you? Where can they find you?
So I am on, obviously, all the social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. You can find me on Facebook at Vic Tipness. You can also go to our website where we put up a lot of entrepreneurial gear. We're now selling entrepreneurial fashion attire at entrepreneurfamily.org. So you can get some pretty cool entrepreneurial shirts. There's some cool stuff on there. We got one shirt that says, you know, your kid will work for my kid. Entrepreneur family. Yeah. So it's fun. You know, it's kind of a cool thing to do. You know, we are definitely coming into a period of time where it is the renaissance of an entrepreneur.
It is.
It absolutely is now very cool to be an entrepreneur. And everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. And I think that's fantastic, mm-hmm. right? Because it just creates more jobs and things for our country. So the entrepreneurial line is a cool thing, you know.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Vic, thanks so much for being on the show today. Really, really enjoyed having you here.
Thanks for having me, Christopher.
All right, folks, time to take action. You know, one of the things I was thinking about when Vic was speaking is if you ever pick up the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, it's one of the best books ever on entrepreneurship, on wealth building, and finding prosperity for you. I'd also like to invite you to come to my website, pchristophermusic.com, and download the 21 Laws of Financial Prosperity for Private Practice Owners. And this is all for small business owners, too. It's 21 laws that I basically researched out of history to pull together the fundamental actions you would take and the belief systems you would have to create financial prosperity for you and your family. That's www.pchristophermusic.com. And there's a free download of an action guide there on these 21 financial principles, these laws that have always worked in all times and places for you to create financial prosperity for you and your family. If you want to listen to archives of our show, go to www.financialpowerhour.com and listen to all kinds of great topics from excellent guests we've had on the show in the past. Finally, connect with me on social media. I'm on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, and so on. It's my hope that you use this wisdom to find and achieve what's most important to you. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Financial Power Hour. For more information on prosperity principles and how to apply them to your life and your business, visit Christopher's personal website at pchristophermusic.com or connect with him on Facebook at facebook.com/pchristophermusicauthor. You may also call Christopher's office at 727-588-1540 to request more information or arrange for him to be a guest speaker at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or visit pchristophermusic.com.